Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is from the gospel lesson that Jess has read. And our theme this morning on this blessed day of resurrection is the resurrection of Jesus. Welcome home. Please be seated. Dearest saints of Christ Jesus, so what are you looking for? Why have you come here today? Why this place? Why today? Perhaps some of you are here because it's the traditional, expected thing to do on Easter Sunday. Perhaps your family has a rule: no Easter Sunday, no ham. Most of you are here because you're always here, every Sunday. So today is no different, except for the breakfast, possibly. But why are you really here? Are you looking for the end of your Lenten journey? If so, then on this day of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, welcome home. There is something about this day, dearly beloved, and there is something about this place that reminds us of home, and it should remind us of home, rightly so. Yet the unfortunate truth is this, that too many spend most of their days looking for a home somewhere else. Now, not talking about church attendance, but you know that's related. I'm referring to the focus upon things of this world, as if the things of this world truly matter. All too often, we are looking to this world for things as if it's truly our home, as if this world is truly our home. And while it may seem like a small matter, in reality, it means that you are exactly like the women who, in our text from the Gospel according to St. Mark, got up early in the morning and headed out for the tomb. Did you notice that the first place that they go to seek Jesus is a graveyard? The disciples and the women still did not understand what Jesus had already told them over and over and over again. At least three times he told them that he must go to Jerusalem, he must suffer many things, that he will be put to death, and then on the third day he would rise. All three times, zip, zip, zip. Like the women, women and men today are looking for Jesus among the dead. Too many, even Christians, focus upon the physical, the perishable, and the mortal. Too many, even Christians today, are seeking Jesus amongst the dead. Why? Why would the women go to the graveyard to anoint Jesus? Why would they go and look for him amongst the tombs? Yes, yes, I know. I know you're going to tell me that they're doing their duty and that they must go there and continue the preparation for Jesus' dead body. He must be prepared so that he will not stinketh, if you will. We speak of their bravery while the disciples hide behind locked doors there in the upper room in fear of the Jews. We talk of their devotion to Jesus, but the truth remains, dear ones. They believe Jesus is dead, even though he had told them once, twice, three times that on the third day he would rise from the dead. They went to the tomb to see Jesus because the tomb, they thought, was the home for the dead. Yes, death is the exile for mankind. Death is the exile for you and for me. Sin has made it so, your sin and my sin. Death is certain. Death is a reality that each and every one of us will face. Even if we are the youngest here or the eldest here, one day we will all experience death, either our personal death or the death of a loved one. There's no escaping it. Yes, I know. We try to fight against it. We try to deny it. We try all that we can do to delay it. But the grim reality is this. I will die one day. You will die one day. Death is our land of exile. The grave is our wilderness home. You can eat healthy. You can work out every single day. You can see the very best doctor. You can eliminate all the stress in your life. Good luck with that. You can be in touch with your inner self. Yet you will die. This is the devastation that sin has created in your life and in my life and in the life of your loved ones. So let's go back to the beginning. There in the Garden of Eden, man willingly brought death and sin into this world. Man didn't realize it that when he disobeyed God, he didn't realize or he failed to listen to God, for God told him that on the day you eat of the tree, you will certainly die. Adam must have thought he was joking. And this death, dear ones, God wasn't talking about physical death. God is not talking about the sanitized death of our American culture where you can do this and this and this and then all of a sudden the character pops back to life again and back to life again and hundreds and thousands and millions of times. No, death is brutal. Death is agonizing. Death is weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the kind of death that God is talking about. God is talking about spiritual death, the death that the unbeliever will experience when they die, eternally separated from God. That's death. God is speaking of the death that brings everlasting condemnation. The Holy Spirit calls it the second death, eternal separation from your Creator. Have you ever considered that? Eternal separation from the one who loves you, the one who has died for you, the one who has risen for you. Our sin has set us on the path to this land of exile. You see, dear ones, there is no escape. And there is no hope of return if you try to get off this road by yourself. You can't buy your way out of hell, but you can certainly spin your way into hell. You can't hope your way out of hell, but you can certainly walk into hell by following the evil one and following the ways of this world. Is it any wonder that we live as if the tomb is our home? And yes, I know you're thinking it. Pastor, you're being awfully somber on Easter. Why are you talking about all this death stuff for? Because it applies to our text. For why were the women going to the grave? Why were they going to the tomb? They thought Jesus was dead. But you see all this death, and especially the second death, for you and for me, for the women, for Mary Magdalene, for the disciples, for all of His children, this second death is not acceptable to God. Your merciful Father, therefore, did something about it. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. And it is Jesus who sought you out It is Jesus who found you, and it is Jesus who's died for you and saved you as he rose for you. Jesus came to rescue each and every one of you from your wandering, from your desert exile. He came to rescue you from the clutches of certain second death. At the cross, yes, Jesus has redeemed, he has restored, and he has renewed you. Jesus overcame the twin forces of sin and the force of death. And he did this by hanging on a tree and bearing your sin, suffering and bleeding holy blood, and dying the all-availing sacrifice. It is God who conquered sin and death and Satan for each and every one of you. And because of that, you should be rejoicing, especially on this day, especially each and every day. But the problem is we're too caught up in the things of this world. We always don't think of home. We think of things that please us or make us happy, rather than thinking about what Jesus has done to save us. For here at the cross, dear one, here the work has been finished. Your Father sent him to finish the work, and Jesus did it willingly. No one took his life. He laid it down for the many. He laid it down for you. Jesus laid in a tomb, that's true. Jesus did die, and he was laid in a tomb as a lifeless corpse. Yet he's a lifeless corpse with a promise. The women who went to the tomb on that first Easter morning, they were not focused on the promise. And there are many today who are not focused on the promise. We must focus on the promise. We are not to focus on the corpse. When they went to see Jesus among the dead, they were looking for the living among the dead. Do you remember what the angel said to them? Words that we should always remember. Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Dear one, the tomb is empty. The tomb will ever and forever be empty. He is not there. He is risen. Almost got you, didn't I? You redeemed yourself. You see, the tomb will always be empty. For only 3 short days did the grave hold our Lord and Savior. The land of exile, of sin and death, Satan's wilderness, has been defeated. It could not contain him. And because it could not conquer him, death and Satan and sin cannot conquer you. For he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Now you're with me. You see, the tomb is empty, dear ones. It must never, ever be your focus. Your focus is not the home here. Your focus is the home there. Live your lives as you live there. Don't live fatalistically. Live victoriously. For death has been defeated for you, and you have been given the white robe of righteousness. Yours is life. The tomb is empty. Do not seek Jesus amongst the dead, nor must you live your lives as you yourself have no hope. The tomb is empty. He is risen, and so shall you rise when he calls you by name. So may I remind you again, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
The tomb is empty, and therefore we live our lives as his children, walking through this strange land, knowing that he is with us, that death cannot defeat us, and that finally at the end of this journey, when we breathe our last, yes, our bodies will go across the street, but our souls will be with Jesus forever and ever. We will see Him face to face, for He is risen. Walk with your eyes focused. Focused not on the tomb, but on Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of your faith. The one who has sought us. The one who has found us. The one who has returned us to a right relationship with our Father in heaven. Walk with our eyes focused, not on this land of death, but on the open gates of our home, the everlasting kingdom that has been freely won for us. Welcome home, dear ones. Welcome home. For He is risen. Welcome home. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.